If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I feel it. Listen, this is what faith does. You know what faith does? Faith is not like a rubber band. Faith is the stretching of the rubber band. Someone asked me last week, they said, how are you? I said, my faith's being stretched. He said, that's good. See, I hang around people like that. I don't hang around people. Oh, praise the Lord. I hope you'll be okay. I don't need you rubbing my back telling me it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. I need a warrior. I was in Coronado a couple weeks ago and over by the North Island Air Base. Just got Marines on the island. And I went and got a high and tight haircut. So I went to the barbershop, and there's a military town. So they have barbers there. So I walked in, and I said, I want a high and tight. And she said, do you want, she called it 0, 1, and 2. I said, well, what's 0? She said, we cut it all the way down like boot camp. And I said, yeah, that's what I want you to do. So she just trimmed all the side and blended it in on the top, and she just had it all trimmed down. And when I walked out, I said, you know what? I'm not going to shave. I'm going to grow a goatee. And so I went back later on to get it touched up, you know. And she said, how are you going to get a high and tight and you got a goatee? Because Marines don't wear facial hair. So she says, well, how are you going to do that? I said, you just give me the high and tight. And I said, I'm going to worry about the facial hair. So I said, here's why I'm doing it. I said, because when I had to get a high and tight, I couldn't wear the facial hair. I said, but now I'm going to wear the facial hair with the high and tight, and I'm going to have the best of both worlds. And that's what faith is. See, when you were under the law, you couldn't have grace. You couldn't have the best of both worlds. But now, hallelujah, now that Jesus has come, you can get the word plus grace. And nobody can beat you down. You can be high and tight and facial hair. And I got something in the mail. A couple of weeks ago. I got an M16 in the mail a couple of weeks ago. It's a dummy M16, but it's the right size, the right way. I took it out the box and walked through the church office with it. I had it on my hip, and I walked around, glory to God, and I went into the count room, you know, where they were taking care of the Sunday offering, and Deacon was in there, and I walked in with my M16. Woo! The weapons of our warfare are carnal. And I got my M16. Somebody gave me a sword, and this big old sword, and they're saying, oh, as a man of God, you got to have the sword of the Spirit. I put the sword in the corner. I got my M16 now. I got my M16. I can crank it off in semi-automatic and automatic. Why? I let the devil know that you changed your weapons, I changed mine. See, over in there, I cried and I wept about the difficulties of life. But over here, I give God praise because this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's about to come off me. You understand that you go through so that you could come out, that God is about to do something great, and the depth of your going through determines how high your building is going to be. So you get ready for a breakthrough because faith tells you that this thing that I'm experiencing is not going to destroy me, but when I come out of this pit, I'm going to the palace. Change your weapons. Glory to God. Faith makes you mobile. Amen. Listen, stop feeling sorry. How many of you in here right now, you're going through some self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself? You'll never raise your hand because you don't want nobody to know it, but I know it, or God wouldn't have me say it. I can see it in your face. Oh, God, I don't know why this is happening to me. Well, I'm going to help you real quick, and it's going to bless you, especially if you've given birth to a child. The first stage of your pregnancy is the exciting stage. It's the stage where you develop the little bump and everybody walking up to you, telling you how much they admire your little bump on your belly. Oh, and you just bond with that child that's inside of you. You're looking for kicks and it's just gas. And you're going, oh, the baby is moving. It ain't the baby moving. It's the pizza you had the other day. You're just looking for everything to qualify that great life that's inside of you. And the people are flocking to you and they're telling you how great it is. That's how salvation is. Your first trimester of salvation is your greatest time. Lord, you feel clean like you took a shower on the inside. You walk out of church singing and dancing like Dorothy and Oz. I'm telling you, he surrounds you with joy and peace and munchkins to give you the way out. They'll tell you, follow the yellow brick road, and you just enjoy your little life. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. But the second trimester comes, and the euphoria that you felt in the first 3 months is now being replaced by the awesome responsibility. The cute little bundle of joy is now pushing on your bladder, and you're going to the bathroom every 5 minutes. You can't even watch your television program because little joy of the first trimester is pushing on your bladder, and now you just gotta go all the time. And now that little bundle is making you feel sick. The very smell of the food that you want load is now making you nauseated, and you don't even like people. You don't even like your husband. You don't like anybody. Why? Because your life that's inside of you is draining your life. And that's what happens when you get saved when you reach the second trimester. After the initial euphoria, the God inside of you starts draining your life and taking away all of your stuff and saying, you got to be crucified. You got to die. The pleasures that you once had now have to be nailed to the cross. Now you got to pray all night. Now you can't party, not because it's sin, but because I want you over here with me. Friends that you once had, you can't walk with them no more because they have no insight. They have no vision. And now you want to, God, why can't I be with them? And God said, no, because I want you over here. That's the second trimester. In the last trimester, you got to get new clothes because you're way out there, way out there. Wasn't like it is now, where now the girls just wear, they just show their belly. That's just nasty. That's just nasty. Ain't nothing pretty about it. Nobody want to see your belly. You tell me, I ain't ashamed. That's just life. No. Why do you think the caterpillar cocoons itself? It don't want to see the metamorphosis. It don't want you to see what it has to go through. Walking around with your belly all out with tattoos on it and earrings in your navel and the baby in there wondering, what am I being born by a normal person or Madonna? Got piercings coming through the womb and the poor baby in there dodging. The third trimester. You sit down, you can't get up. You get up, you can't sit down. You become miserable. The joy you felt in the first trimester, oh, my baby, has now been replaced by, I'll be glad when this thing come out. Lord have mercy, I'm so glad. When you go, child, when you supposed to have a baby? Child, it ain't long enough. Woo! I was in the ER the other day going to see somebody. They wheeled a person in who I guess she was in her last stages, and the ER nurse said, are you giving birth now? She said, I sure hope so. She looked like she's about ready to pop. And that's how that third trimester is. The third trimester, you don't feel cute. You don't feel attractive. Your nose is spread all over your face. Hair is growing all over your leg that didn't grow there before. The baby has upset all of your hormones. They just upset everything. You don't like anything or anybody and don't even like the child. I can tell that you don't like your child by the names you give it. You give a child a name, they got to grow up with that name. That's why so many of them just use an initial. What's your name? D. Because you done called him something because you don't like him. Third trimester is horrible. You're preparing for birth. You go back to the OBGYN. The tests change. Everything changes. Now they're starting to look at your cervix and they're starting to wonder, okay, you're spreading a little bit. You got 10 centimeters to dilate. And they're telling you, you know, and then you get to labor. And labor is messy. Water breaks. Pain comes. And that little bundle of joy from the first trimester is now a burden. It's so much of a burden that you want drugs to deal with it. Give me an epidural. Or just give me some crack. Anything. Give me some scotch. You ain't supposed to have a drink. You ain't got my pain. Your husband's standing there like, God, you can make it, baby. You can make it. He puts his hand down to grab at you. You grab the hand and squeeze and break all 17 bones in his hand. And you say, you did this to me! And that's how God is when he brings you to the third trimester of spiritual evolution and development. You say to God, God, you did this to me. You put this anointing on me. You put this ministry in me. You put this vision in me. You put this drive in me. And now I'm at the stage where it's just about to come out and the devil is standing there giving me labor pains. He's pushing at it. He's fighting it. He wants you to keep holding it. But God said, no, you've got to give birth. When your water breaks, you'll know when your water breaks, because when it gets messy, that's when you're about to give deliverance. You're about to have something come out of you. When it gets messy, people start talking about you behind your back. The burdens become greater. Folks begin to hate you more. It's getting messy now. The tears are flowing. The pain is intensifying. But rejoice when you're in the kingdom. You're about to see your vision come to pass. Don't abort your baby. We're Westerners, and Westerners have their babies all wrapped up neat and tidy. We need to have babies like they have them in the bush. They just squat, give birth, cut the cord, and move on. Keep right on working in the field. Why? Because they're used to it. At some point in your Christian evolution, God is going to burden you and give you such great visions that you're going to be able to give birth, keep moving, and get pregnant again. And stop laying around whining. That's why you're going to have 2 and 3 things come out of you. Too many Christians are afraid. And when you get one burden, one vision, you give up and you die. No, baby, you were equipped for multiple births. You were equipped for multiple visions. Don't give up just because one thing has come to pass. The kingdom demands more vision. And the more children you have, the easier it becomes. In my old church, there was a mother in that church that had 24 children. 24. 24. There's a pastor in our fellowship whose wife, when they have a family reunion, there's 84 people in their family when they get together. She said, all my sisters were breeding machines, and they passed it on to their children. Now, see, for the newer ones of y'all, you 21st century people, I don't want no children. I just don't want none. That's why you're not doing anything for God. Because the ability to reproduce in the natural is tied into your ability to reproduce in the spirit. Even God links the two together. He told Abraham, I'm going to make you what? The father of a great nation. And what's he teaching him? That even though you don't want to do it, I'm going to do it anyway. Now, you might say Abraham only had one child. No, he didn't. He fathered one on his own. Because we always mess up and do our own thing. And then one came by promise. And the one by promise had the seed that God promised. But the first one also had a seed. They became the Muslims. But the key is God made you fertile. I don't want no children. Child, listen. You can't walk in the kingdom and not have vision. Something ought to make you pregnant. You ought to feel something by faith. And then you need faith to do it.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09216P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.